It's the kind of movie I want to see by myself. No, I didn't say anything weird. You could check me. I wouldn't be 10 during the whole thing. What if I got a knock on the head? Oh, jeez. You never know. I might. See, I didn't want to be seen in the theater taking leave of my senses, maybe putting on a tutu and singing, "It had to be you. It had to be you. No other guy that can make me so high. It had to be you." Oh, how I feel
when you make me squeal.
Oh, when we make love beneath stars above, it's just unreal. It just had to be you. For the cool. Oh, it's so nice when you get a slice. It had to be you. Please give my dodons a heft, and I'll let you part my gluteal cleft. It had to be you. Had to be you. It had to be you. Well, it's decided, Clinton. Michael Dukakis has chosen his running mate.
I don't care, punk. I don't vote.
You don't vote? What do you mean you don't vote? You're an American. You should vote.
I'm a cop. Cops don't vote. They kick butt.
Wait a minute. Cops do vote. What are you? You're not interested in the political process? I mean, it was quite exciting, I felt. I was wondering whether Dukakis would choose Jesse Jackson, because everybody was thinking maybe he should choose Jesse. There was a tremendous support. But then again, he chose this other guy that we never heard about, but actually who's had quite a background in politics, so maybe he did make the right choice for the party. But then again, is there going to be some resentment in the party?
Shut up, punk. I told you I don't care about all that.
You don't care? The governing bodies of our countries who ultimately are responsible for the laws that you enforce. Let's face it, Clinton. You see, if you don't vote for the president and then some horrible law gets passed, well, then you really can't say you know, if you get forced to enforce a law or something, then you really should...
I'm warning you, punk. Shut up.
Shut up! About the most important thing in our whole land, about the president of the United States, you want me to shut up? I can't believe that. I'm going to the convention this year. I am going, and I'm going to be there, and I'm going to support, and I'm going to lend my enthusiasm.
Thank God you'll be out of town. Where's it going to be, punk?
Let me see. The convention this year is going to be held at one of my favorite hotel chains. Let me... yeah, that's right. It's going to be at the Omni...
It's the Grease Man Show.
Oh, Nella.
On DC 101.
Oh, man. It's 17 minutes after 7 o'clock. The Grease facing another day with him. Just enjoying life. Nice day. It's going to be a little steamy, but that's the way we like it. You never hear me complaining about the schwitz from the pitch. So I'm out on the good ship Grease. You know when we spend the night on the good ship Grease, anchored in some cove? Sometimes I'll let my honey sleep. You know what? I'll sneak out of the bed real early in the morning and climb up on deck. Captain Martinez is still in his quarters, and he's sound asleep. And I'll go all the way out on the bow pulpit and sit there and just wait for the sun to break the horizon. Sometimes I'll sit there with my guitar and... just kind of tuning it up, you know, and after I get it real nice and tuned, I'll, all right, you're going to call me hokey, but I sometimes will greet the sunrise with a song. And I remember... on my vacation, one morning I was sitting there, so happy, I just threw my head back and screamed, "I'm well in the way. Feels so good, of course, I'm in ecstasy, 'cause I have a doogie. Looking at the sun with my doodads free. My cheeks are slapping as I let fly a
I'm warning you, Captain. There'll be in your eye, and I'll try. Oh, Lord, I'll try.
Watermen were looking at me like I was crazy. You know, they were picking up their traps and their oysters. And there I was, just wham!
I look to the sea. Oh, it's nice. Speckling the waves in frothy glee. And I'm happy, not sad. Like dear old dad, we'd wail together without any clothes. Yeah, we'd have our fists out like guarded hoes, but we tried best as we can to get. Song of hope, and this is what they said. They said, come whale away, come whale away, come whale away with me.
Don't be afraid of it. Come on.
Come whale away, come whale away, come whale away with me.
Ooh, it's so nice.
Come whale away, come whale away, come whale away with me.
And then with trembling hand, I lit a camel. But I wasn't careful, and I slipped on the deck. instantly losing 10-hut status, I treaded water while jellyfish clung to my dotten tissues. Which is kind of nice. The jellyfish sting at the moment of Shangri-La can be sweet. Can be sweet. Bluebeard the pirate used to do that. He'd always keep a bucket of jellyfish by his bed. And he'd scoop one up at the appropriate time and poof, poof, he'd take a hit. It was nice. It's 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. Hey, little Buddha there, Buddha there, blah, blah, blah. The memories come back. The memories come back, and I never know when they'll come back, so don't be alarmed if someday you see me walking down the streets. You know, you'll recognize me. You'll see me lumbering like I got a load in my pants. And if a car backfires or... I may die for cover, and whatever you do, don't tap me on the shoulder without first letting me know you're there, because I might turn around with fists of fury. It's not my fault, it's just that the memories. The memories are hard to shake. I remember the voices. The voices! Voices from a bygone era, back in the days when the name on my uniform said Grease Manelli, but everybody knew me as Sergeant Fury. Quang Tree, 1967. Nobody ever suspected that as I ran across open fields, right into the face of enemy machine gun nests. Right in the face, almost shouldering aside the bullets to bury my bayonet in the gut of an ebony egg. Yeah, nobody ever suspected the whole time as I led my men from attack to attack that I was carrying a teddy bear in my backpack. I'd carried it since I was just a little kid. And somehow, call me crazy, call me schizo, but I couldn't go anywhere without that teddy bear. Needless to say, I was paranoid that the men would find out about it. Old blood and guts, Sergeant Fury carries a teddy bear. They thought I liked to sleep alone in the foxhole to plan strategy, but actually I always dug a single man foxhole so I could cuddle my teddy bear at night. And I remember one extremely tense battle that caught us by surprise. Incoming! Grab some real estate! Done. It was intense, it was furious, and the whole time, I didn't realize it. But my knapsack came unbuttoned. And by the time we flushed the area free of commies, I had dived to the ground and fired on one knee, and my teddy bear flopped out. We were dragging him and bagging him, and one of the men noticed, "Hey, Sarge! What's that teddy bear doing at your feet?" All the other guys heard it and they came over to investigate. I picked it up and all my men, the men that respected me, stared at me, the infamous Sergeant Fury, holding a teddy bear. I realized I was about to lose control of the men. I realized they were about to lose respect for me. It was DiLorenzo that walked up to me and said, "What's the deal, Sarge? You got a teddy bear in your knapsack?" I said, "Yeah, I do. What's it to you?" "Well," he said, "Sarge, what do you need with a teddy bear?" I said, "Well, if you must know," and I dropped trowel and I grabbed that teddy bear. I said, "Well, I get lonely on guard duty." Hey, and from that day, I had the men's undying respect.
A man still tingling from full body massage.
And that's what's got me on top of my game. You know, that's one thing I never, ever once the whole time I was married to Estelle. You listening, you hog, Estelle? Never once. Never once.
Yeah, Estelle was the marriage I did with all the formality. You know, the wedding, the reception, the bridesmaids, the whole schmear.
I'll never forget, she even wanted me to ask her father for permission to marry her big behind. Can you believe in that? I mean, ask her father. But I was young. I'll figure if that's what she wants. If that's what she wants, I'll do it, man. I remember walking over to the house all nervous. Because, you know, what do you do if he says no? I mean, he couldn't really stop us. But I walked through the door. I asked her mama where Pop was. He was sitting in the parlor. I said, "Mr. Arch and Curtis, I'm here to ask for your daughter's hand in marriage."
"Unbelievable. That is unbelievable, man."
"Well, I do want to marry her. And I know it does sound unbelievable. She does have those zits on her tuckers. You ever seen them?"
"Yep. Not bad, yeah."
They're horrible.
That's your not bad, Zebra.
Disgusting.
We all been to that one, bro. That's what you do all the way through the song, man. That's it.
I figured,
that's all of it.
I figured, yeah, there's, I don't know if that's
now
all.
That's what's happening.
What's that? There's zits on
the
talk.
That's going to be the thing.
What, zits on the talk?
What about the moonwalking, though?
Well, I wouldn't call it moonwalking, sir. I wanted it moon wiping. Anyway. And she does have that hook nose.
Bad man.
That is pretty
bad. That is bad, bad, bad.
And
you ain't never done, I've never done a record.
Well, she does have
that's a bad problem.
I don't like it.
That is bad. Believe me.
I believe you.
Believe me.
I believe you.
Believe me, that's bad.
Look.
Believe me.
I believe you. I'm the one that's going to marry her. I believe you. But I decided that I would like to marry her. And to be honest with you, the only reason is she lets me French fry. You know what I'm saying?
Brother,
that first one?
I hear you, brother man. What you got there?
First one.
You know what? We got a thing. You know what?
What's that?
You can do a series of these things.
Well, I believe your other daughters, sir, are going to have to find their own husbands. Because I can't handle it. Just Estelle, so I just thought I'd ask you for it. In the hopes that you would give your approval. What do you say? Should we wed?
Damn hot.
Good. All right. Well, then I assume that... what you say is, that means yes. Can you give me any words of wisdom? Maybe something that you and Mrs. Hutchin-Gertis have learned over the years that Estelle and I can strive for to make our life together even more bountiful, even more beautiful?
Oh, to get the true sense of greatness,
uh-huh.
The only thing remaining, he has his prerequisites. His application has been accepted to the College of Greatness, and only the tenure of time in serving, whether he comes out with a 4-point average or not, will remain to be seen. Shakespeare says, some men are born great, others achieve greatness, and others have greatness thrust upon them. If he can make the combination of the three, then he's immortal.
Well, all right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that, man. Appreciate your sharing. There's one other thing, though. Estelle tells me you may be a little busy, and you may not attend the wedding. Sir, we want to do everything as totally formal as we could, and I'm asking you, I would like you to attend the wedding so you could please give away the bride.
Your mama.
I'm asking you to be at the church and bring her down the aisle.
Your mama.
You mean to tell me you don't care about a wedding? You don't care about that she's been married?
That's right. I said your mama.
But wait just a cotton pick a minute. This is Estelle, your first bound. Don't you want to...
Your mama.
Sir, I have to insist that you be there because I've already made arrangements for you to be at the reception.
Your mama.
You mean to tell me you don't care if there's an empty chair at the dais?
That's right. I said your mama.
I insist. Well, anyway, we finally talked about it, and he was there. We compromised. He didn't actually walk her down the aisle. He just put his foot in the small of her back and gave her a shove. She rolled, took herself a tea kettle. I pulled her out from a pile of hymnals and said, all right, Padre, let the ceremony begin. Women, but, you know, women sing the glories of men. You know, when they get together and they're having a few belts, they talk about men. They talk about events in their lives. They talk about differences and different guys. They do. And what do they say? Well, oftentimes they're complimentary as they look back over the dossier of their lives. As they look back at the dossier of their lives, and probably if they were to sing the song, Ladies at Happy Hour, it would probably sound something like this.
Well, when the same gal, she wouldn't let me in. She had come, yeah, it had come again, oh yeah.
Somebody been using that thing.
Oh yeah.
Somebody been using that thing. Georgia boy, somebody been using that thing. Well, I knew a guy, his name was Rocco. His hydraulics were so zesty, tasted just like a taco. Yeah. Georgia boy, somebody been using that thing.
I got a gal, she little and low. She used to let me shake, but she don't know more. Oh, yeah.
Somebody been using that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody been using that thing. Georgia boy, somebody been using that thing. Well, I knew a guy, his name was Carl. Had hydraulics, he just loved to gnarl. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Georgia boy, somebody been using that thing.
Old Uncle Bun, about 96. He just got back from getting it fixed.
Somebody been using that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody been using that thing. Georgia boy, somebody been using that thing. Well, I knew a guy, his name was Adam. The girls would stand in line just to let him splat him. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Georgia boy, somebody been using that thing.
Oh, ain't Jane, she bought a new hat. Believe it or not, boy, it's tight like that, oh yeah.
Somebody been using that thing.
Oh yeah.
Somebody been using that thing. Georgia boys, somebody been using that thing. Well, I knew a guy, his name was Irving. His march up to Bombay's was unswerving. Oh yeah. Georgia boys, might have been using a thing. Somebody been using that thing.
Oh yeah.
Somebody been using that thing. Georgia boys, might have been using a thing. Well, I knew a guy, his name was George. He just loved to yodel in the gorge. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Georgia boys, might have been using a thing.
One turned over and the other one said, oh, yeah.
Somebody been using that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody been using that thing. Georgia boy, somebody been using that thing. Well, I knew a guy, his name was Dougie. Yeah. The air under his doodads was a little muggy. Oh, yeah. Georgia boy, somebody been using that thing.
Well, love
her in
summer and love
her
in fall, but cold winter days
are
good lover at all,
Somebody been using that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody been using that thing. Georgia boys, somebody been using that thing.
Maybe we should head for the mountains of West Virginia.
What do you think we say if we're in the mountains of West Virginia? Oh, he said,
I'm a West Virginia guy, West Virginia boy. West Virginia is my pride and joy. West Virginia's good enough for me. And I said, I'm a West Virginia guy with a twinkle in my eye. West Virginia's good enough for me. West Virginia's good enough for me.
Well, it turned out there was a breakout at the jail. This old prisoner climbed the fence and got away, and bam, 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 the guards fired, but he managed to make good his escape. So they got out this bloodhound, and his bloodhound was the best tracking dog in the county. And they turned that dog loose. But wouldn't you know, the dog runs up to a pile of bushes and pulls out a pair of panties some woman must have abandoned. That dog comes rushing back with them panties. The warden grabs him out of the dog's mouth and says, come on, boy. Find him now, find him. So that dog takes off. And wouldn't you know, he leads the warden to the biggest school of trout he ever saw.
We have so many maggots, we have so many maggots, we have so many maggots, we have maggots on the light.
There you are. And thank you for your kind call and comment. You know, my voice is a little rusty today, but that's always the way I come back from vacation. I get a little gnarly. I don't know what that is. Maybe I ought to try yodeling or something. Build up them pipes, you know? Yodeling. 101, good morning. Yeah, it is. Go ahead, buddy.
This is Billy Bob. Hey, I was listening in the car a little while ago to you, Greaseman.
Yeah?
And you were talking about the Hobbledoo-Guy Handbook. And
yes.
You were talking about a guy called you up wanting to know about tourists.
Yes, sir.
You told him about you did one with a placard or something.
Yeah.
Well, I tape you, Mr. Greaseman, and I got one from May 5th, 1984. And you done talked about tourist tapping, and you went downtown by the monuments, and you had your Nikon, and you were hitting on them down there.
So
I just wanted to keep things straight, you know, and keep all the information.
All right,
straight.
Well, thanks for listening. You got a whole Grease collection, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
We've been taping for years. We got all kinds of stuff.
All right, well, keep it up.
All right, buddy.
I'll keep the action coming. Appreciate it.
Must be late.
To strap on a gun and pin on a badge and become a lawman. Well, you're on patrol, waiting for a call, ready for action, when suddenly this sweet thing drives by in a convertible. She's in a halter top. She's in short shorts. She parks in the shopping mall and runs into the dry cleaning store. And I'm
mean you are so tanned you can't blink your eyes. You think to yourself, I gotta get me a slice. So you reach into your glove compartment and grab your can of white spray paint. And you run over to where she parked, and you get down on your hands and knees, and you spray paint that handicap symbol underneath her car. She comes running out of the dry cleaners 5 minutes later. You say, hold on a second, hey, little lady. You make a habit of getting in the way of crippled people. Huh? You got something against wheelchairs? She says, officer, I don't understand. You say, look, you parked in a handicap spot. She said, but wait a minute, oh my God, I didn't even notice that when I pulled in. I just wanted to run into the dry cleaners for a second. I must not have seen it. Officer, I was only in there. You say, only in there 5 minutes, huh? You tell it to somebody that needs a parking space in a hurry that you were only in there for five. I'm about to write you up a big piece of pay and paper, young lady. I may take you downtown and book you. That is so flagrant to think you parked right over. She said, oh, please, God, officer, don't write me a ticket. I can't, He said, well, we might be able to talk about it if you'll talk to the judge.
She says, I don't understand.
You say, well, let me introduce you to His Honor. Yeah. Huh? I think if you could see your way clear to do a little...
She says, but officer, I don't... Oh, God, I don't... Oh, well, all right.
Yeah, if it please the court, and it do please the court. That is, yeah. That is, yeah, yeah. Who's that?
She said, officer, I'm not upset by that treatment, but did you have to add insult to injury by taking a peach out of my grocery bag?
Well, he looks so fresh. He looks so juicy. He looks so swingy. It's 13 minutes before 9 o'clock here at DC 101 with the Grease Man, 4321-101. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Very well.
Are you going to play volleyball next weekend?
At the DC 101 volleyball tourney? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I'll play or not, but I'll certainly be there mingling and swapping stories, and usually I cheer the team on.
You don't play?
Well, sometimes.
Oh.
Why, are you a player?
Yeah, we're going to play. We got a whole bunch of people playing this year.
The DC 101 6th Annual Coors Gatorade Volleyball Marathon to benefit the National Kidney Foundation.
That's right.
Is going to be Saturday, July 23rd on the mall beside the Air and Space Museum. You can enter your office or company in the annual YDB Workforce Blocks Competition, and you could join YDB live on the air. Plus, the winning company team will pick the Workforce Blocks for a week. So here's the number to sign up your team for the Volleyball Marathon, 337-6600. It's fun, and DC 101 is there every year.
What I wanted to ask you was, could you do the hospital rap? You did it while you were... Young Dave Brown did it while you were on vacation.
The hospital rap.
Yeah, it was really funny.
Thanks. It's been a while, so I don't know if I remember it. You know, I do these things, and they just kind of fly over the airwaves. Is that what you do? You one of them hospital ladies?
No.
I'm braiding the hair on my chest just for that, that punk look.
Do you realize how butch you two look together?
That's the intent, to look a little butch. And it's the intent, but give me a Zippo. I'll light a couple of strands on fire. Now, that is bold.
One street, and then they turn the bulls loose, and they run before the bulls to try to show their honeys who's the bravest of them all. Man, they had one guy on the news last night getting gored. It was brutal.
I mean, that bull just cornered him and just buried the horn deep. I mean, skewering him right in the gut. It was horrible. I'm serious. It was horrible. They had it on the cable news network last night. Then the bull picked him up, slammed him into a wall, stuck him again. Oh, Nelly. In this country, we could never do anything like that. I mean, in some of those Latino countries, they still... I mean, you know, you want to risk your tuchus, that's your business. You want to run in front of the bulls, turn them loose. Could never do it in the U.S. of A. First of all, they'd worry about who'd get sued if somebody got stuck, right? And then they'd worry about... the requirements for the safety of the spectators. And then they'd probably end up banning the whole thing because it would be cruelty to animals. Gets blood on their horns. Bad for the bull's complexion. You know, it's nice to see some places where you can still prove that you're a man. You can still prove that you are bold, buddy. Pardon me for pausing to sip every now and then.
Boy's a little hoarse, and they tell me you got to keep it wet. So, anyway.
Little booger.
Yeah, Dad would come in and say, well, when I was a little kid, he'd always treat me like that. He'd say, you my little snuggle booger. I'd say, yeah, Dad, I'm a snuggle booger. He'd say, all right, son, well, I'll tell you one story, but then you got to go to sleep. I promise. I'd say, I promise, Dad, I'll go to sleep. He said, well, all right, well, once upon a time, there were these two guys, and they was friends for a lot of years, and they went their separate ways. Well, they decided it was too long since they'd seen one another, so one of them decided to make a bus trip to see the other. So sure enough, the bus pulls in, and the two buddies are together at last. Earl and Roscoe. So Earl and Roscoe are driving along. Earl picked Roscoe up at the bus station. And they're talking, hey, how was your trip? It's good, it's good. Earl says to Roscoe, Roscoe, something smells funny. Pardon me for asking this, but did you just take a massive gassive in your pants? Roscoe said no. Anyway, the wife is doing real good, and, you know, business is fine. I'm fixing to get me a promotion. I'll probably be director of my whole department. And Earl says, I hate to interrupt you, Roscoe, but something is nasty. Are you sure you didn't take a gargantuan stinking massive in your pants? Roscoe said, no, I did not. So, anyway, we put some aluminum siding on the house, which makes it look pretty good. Now, you won't recognize the old neighbor because all the trees done growed up. Now, you remember we planted them. Everything was real fine. And Earl says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And he pulls the car over the road. He says, get out, Roscoe. Roscoe gets out, and Earl grabs his belt buckle and just yanks his pants down. And out spills a big, nasty load. And Earl says, look at that, huh? Look at that mess! What have I been asking you? And Roscoe said, oh, I thought you meant today.
Changing the way Washington talks, it's the Grease Man.
Cornelia.
On DC 101.
Because I'm in a rush. Rich Levinson, sure, he wants to get his piece of the action, but I don't mind staying at this job. There are other jobs, you know, where I watch the clock, you know, and when I was a bartender, I used to really get a little nuts. So I remember when I was a bartender, you know, you're running so many lunatics, I'd watch the clock. In closing time, man, I'd be out of there. But this job, you know, you listen to some music, talk to some people on the phone, what's not to like? I remember when I was a bartender, I was working the late shift, and the weirdest thing that ever happened, this pig comes walking in. And, you know, I say, you know, I can't believe my eyes. Pig gets up on the bar stool and says to me, what's the limit on drinks in here? I said, well, usually about 10. And the pig says, give me 10 drinks. I said, well, he's bourbon. So I fixed him 10 bourbons and waters. Pig drinks them all down and says, hey, where's the bathroom? And I pointed it out to him. I couldn't believe my eyes. I thought I was hallucinating, you know. He walks out. Another pig comes in. He orders 15 drinks. Drinks them down. Asks for the bathroom. I mean, by this time, you know, I'm thinking of calling, like, you know, Ripley's Believe It or Not. Another pig comes in. He orders 20 drinks and drinks them all down. Another pig comes in. Orders 25 drinks. Drinks them all down. Asks me where the bathroom is. And, you know, by this time, when I see the next pig come in, I got it down. The second I see him come through the door, I set up 30 drinks. The pig drinks them all down and then just sits there and lights a cigarette. I said, well, aren't you going to ask me where the bathroom is? He said, no, I'm the pig that goes wee, wee, wee all the way home. Where's the joy? Where's the, sure, we had some good times, but those times have long since passed. There's so many times that humiliating. What she doesn't realize is she makes these accusations at Wade Boggs and sues him for all this money. In the end, whatever is decided in the courts, she'll still be alone and bitter. She's only making herself more unattractive by this behavior. You can always judge a woman, or a man for that matter, as to how he broke up with his last person. He did it in an honest and open way, a generous and giving way. not only financially, but emotionally, then maybe that's a person you might want in your life. But this wench with this screaming vindictive going on TV, I'll tell you, you want to know secrets about Wade Boggs? Let me tell you this. I mean, how's she ever going to find a man? The courts are not going to give her $6 million. No way. I mean, she may get a little something, but let's face it. Oftentimes, like Hugh Hefner's girlfriend. Yes, she lived in the mansion for 6 years. That does not entitle her to $6 million. She was well-treated, had some good champagne, ate well, drank well, had numerous ta-ta tucks thanks to Hef, and now it's over, it's done. Doesn't necessarily mean you need a payment for services rendered. We have a word for that in the English language, and it's uncomplimentary, and most women don't like to be called it. So she will disappear one day and find some other guy to make miserable. Wade will just go on. Wade Boggs will go on. It's just, you know, and I'm not immune to that. I mean, let me tell you something. I went through hell with Estelle. Are you listening to your heart yet? I mean, that was... I tried to make an attempt to break him. Look, I tried... Let me spill my guts for a second here. I tried to be honest. I tried to be open. I tried to be giving. I tried to make the transition from... from married to singlehood. Is it, but you know, Estelle, once it was over, it was just over. Once it was done, it was just done. And I want to tell you, it was horrible. I mean, I'd be sitting there. I'd have a date over at the house. Estelle would drive by with a brick. She'd take the brick and she threw it. And then go blast it off. And there I'd be with glass in my meatloaf. Whoever was over there, somewhat disconcerted. Who threw a brick through your window? Oh, that's my ex-wife. Don't mind her. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah, so tell me, your astrological sign is what? Well, you know me. I don't get mad, I get even. Same thing. I'd go by Estelle's house. She'd have some swinging Richard over there. I'd wait until I saw the light go out. I knew Estelle's technique, too. She always liked to start out with a little gobble de geese. I'd look at my watch, I'd see the light go out. I'd say, all right, it's 15 seconds, he's dropped trowel. It's 45 seconds, they're in the rack. There's a minute and a half, she's probably just administering a snarling, gnarling. I'd heave a brick through that window. I tell you what, God forbid it should ever happen to you, but if a brick comes through the window and you're administering a snarling, gnarling, let me tell you, it's like instant tonsillectomy. So she'd get madder and madder. I remember one time I made the mistake of not drawing my blackout curtains, and I just had the thin curtains. She could see me there sitting on the couch talking to somebody, sipping a bottle of wine. She got the car just revved up and just banged into the front of the house. I mean, it was unbelievable. Knocked me right off the couch, onto the floor. The babe I was with couldn't take it. She left in a huff. Estelle backed out and drove off again. I mean, it was like... And, you know, neither one of us ever called the police. Neither one of us ever called the police because, we wanted the bit of satisfaction of being able to handle it on our own. But I had the ultimate revenge. It was a valuable piece of property that I had. So I fixed it up. I sold that bad boy. I sold that bad boy. Oh, no, I didn't have a little sign out front for sale by owner. I did it discreetly with a realtor I knew. I said, I'd like to sell my house. I'm not in any particular rush. I don't want to have it listed. So I sold that thing and moved out. And that's when Estelle ended up doing jail time. Because there were these hapless new owners, all excited about their new house. Hey,
Hey, the grease man used to live here. Yeah, really. Boy,
they were having a barbecue, a housewarming. When here comes Estelle. Hose bag on the loose. Ski pants stretched to the max. Pants so tight you can actually see the outlines of the boils on her behind. She stands there with two soda pop bottles with rags hanging on them, filled with gasoline. We are talking Molotov cocktail. She stands there, she says, Nino, I've heard of what you're behind. And she throws those Molotov cocktails.
Man on DC 101.
Yeah, she did 18 months in the slammer for that one. It was sweet. It was sweet. Yeah, she wasn't well received by the other prisoners, from what I hear anyway. Yeah, I hear she didn't get along with the other ladies. Right off the bat, they let her know where she stood. They gave her a good tongue-lashing. And they told her that if she didn't mind her P's and Q's, it would be overdone, finito. And wench. Oh, if I could just get my hands just one more time around her throat. Just one more time, if I could just square. Hold on. I wouldn't kill her. Just enough to, yes, I just want to feel my hands where the soft, downy flesh of her throat one time. DC 101, good night.
Time to wonder what it must be like to strap on a gun and pin on a badge and become a lawman. Well, you're sitting downtown smoking a Camel, your eyes scanning the horizon in front of you. Well, suddenly you see a car. Make a left turn where there's a sign that distinctly says no left turn. Well, you hit the light and siren and pull them over and you realize to your chagrin as you're looking in to call in the tag, it's a damn diplomat. You slam the microphone down on the seat and you get out of the squad car and you go walking up there and the maggot's sitting there saying, but I have immunity. You say, yeah, right, I hear all that immunity stuff. That don't mean I can't ID you. How do I know this ain't a stolen car there, whatever your name is? Let me see some driver's license and registration. You may have immunity, but you still gotta identify yourself to me. Now let's move! So that turban-wearing maggot hands his DL and registration. You look at the ugly picture there as he smiles contentedly. When you notice a steaming pile of dog goo over there on the curb, you say, just a second, I want to call this in, make sure it's authorized. You drop that DL and registration right in that steaming pile of dog goo. Then you come walking back, say, get out of the car, help me look. The wind was blowing, blew your driver's license out of my hand. He says, but I need my leg. You say, get out of the car and help me look. Well, he finds it there, squished down around the nuts. Squished down around that unsavory bit of it there. He says, you better get that out of there. He says, but it is offensive. You say, well, look, if you don't carry a registration with me, that means I can impound your car. You see, you may have immunity, but your car does not have immunity. Now, if you want me to impound your car, I can do that. But then you got to go back and tell the ambassador himself that you lost a $14,000 automobile. Now, I don't know what y'all do for justice, but I hear that you take swords and skin each other. Now, what goes on inside an embassy is none of my business, but what goes out on the street is my business. Now, you either pick that thing up and stick it back in your wallet, or I'll impound your car. You hear what I'm saying there? Now get out of here. We may not skin them in this country, but I tell you what, we sure enough know how to book them. You give them a good swift kick in the duck.
Changing the way Washington talks. It's the Grease Man, mornings on DC 101.
Just don't press me, eh? Just don't press me. DC 101, 24 after 6. Hello.
Grease.
Yes.
Yeah, my name's Ron. I live over in Seabrook.
What can I do for you, Ron?
I got a couple of buddies who are building a house up off of Harper's Ferry Road up in Maryland.
Yes, sir.
And every day I hear about this forecast of yours. Hot. Damn hot.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like you to do something for them and just let them know that we know they're up there.
All right, you got it, buddy. 101, long distance line.
Grease Man.
Yes.
Took you a while this morning.
I'm sorry, but I'm here. I got a lot of lines, and it takes me a while to answer them. Patience and perseverance. The
yes,
double
sir.
P's needed to get hold of my big behind.
I got a couple things for you this morning.
What's that?
Well, I don't know if you heard, but down here in Fauquier County, down in Bealton, seems that a man was murdered for an attempted fudge packet.
No.
He, I guess, snuck up behind his buddy, and his buddy didn't appreciate it. And
boo-da-dow, bow.
He used a 6x6 fence post.
Ooh.
And did him in.
That's too bad.
Yeah, life of a fudge packer, I guess.
Yes, it has its terrible comeuppance, to be sure. It's 25 minutes after 6 o'clock. We're only about half an hour away from writing down the bits. The prize this time, a session on the air. You actually get to do a bit, wander around the station, stare at all the goings-on to see the inner workings of the Mega Mother. So stand by with a yellow pad at the ready, because it's going to be a big day today.
Miller Genuine Draft Concerts at Merriweather.